One of the signature issues for the second Obama administration is immigration reform. Whether it's going to be comprehensive or not, it's too soon to tell. But we've seen the Republican Party begin to address the matter as well, and to do that in a way that's a far cry from the self-deportation rhetoric that we were hearing back during the Romney presidential campaign. So both parties now see this as an important issue. But how about the American people? Just days ago, the respected Public Religion Research Institute, in partnership with the Brookings Institution, released a comprehensive survey on just this topic, with a special focus on the moral and social implications of the so-called path to citizenship. And here to talk about some of the findings is PRRI founding CEO, Dr. Robert P. Jones. He's no stranger to you because he comes to us regularly and always enlightens us. Robbie, welcome back to State of Belief.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm sure your study has been in the works for quite some time, but it's very interesting that it comes out the same week as the GOP post-election self-evaluation that seems to echo some of the same themes when it comes to immigration policy. In fact, you call a central finding that rarest of rarities in our polarized political environment, a policy that has major support no matter what group you ask. I mean, that's hard to believe, so let's start right there.
No, you're right. It is. And it is quite remarkable that we're finding 6 in 10 Americans supporting a path to citizenship. And this is even when we offer a three-part question that has a path to citizenship, permanent legal status and not citizenship, or deportation. So they get three options to pick from. When you give Americans three options to pick from and say, how do you think we ought to solve the country's illegal immigration problem? More than 6 in 10, say 63%, say that we should support a path to citizenship for those already in the country here illegally. Now, what's remarkable about this is that includes, maybe not surprisingly, you know, strong majorities of Democrats and independents, but it also includes a majority, 53% of Republicans also support a path to citizenship, as do all major religious groups in the country. And this survey was big enough that we were able to break out like 10 major religious groups, all of them, even more conservative groups like white evangelical Protestants and Mormons, all supporting a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants. And as you said, it is a pretty rare thing in today's polarized environment to find anything, especially a major issue like this that's been contentious in the past. This is not something around the edges of policy. This is major U.S. policy that would be a significant change in the way the country deals with the approximately 11 million immigrants that are here in the country today. And yet we find, despite, you know, all the talk about political polarization that's real on so many issues, not here.
So literally, there isn't a major demographic that opposes this.
Yeah, well, if you slice it very thin, you can find some that you have to work very hard to find these small groups that, you know, that would sort of oppose it. I mean, the things that sort of predict that one would be sort of less supportive of a path to citizenship are age to a certain extent, being older, being white, being from the South, some factors like that. But I mean, you really do have to compound all of those together to get, you know, a group that's opposed. But by and large, Americans are, you know, on the same page on this issue, and not just on policy, but on values as well.
I don't want to throw you a curveball, and because you may not know the answer to this, and I certainly don't know the answer to it. But do you know how those numbers from the American people compare to numbers related to Congress itself?
You know, I don't. You know, but what we have seen, you know, here's my general impression, though. You know, I don't have a nose count of kind of where the votes were. But clearly what we had, you know, just a, you know, or really any time before the last national election, you know, is that we had the sort of Tea Party faction of the Republican Party strongly against anything that neared a path to citizenship, you know, calling it amnesty, sort of in saying, you know, we should not reward people who broke the law, you know, and very hard line now. And, you know, just this week we have none other than Tea Party standard bearer, you know, Rand Paul coming out and saying everything but overtly saying a path to citizenship, but talking about compassion, talking about, you know, prudence, and kind of a practical policy that has compassion at its heart. That's not something we would have heard, you know, just even a few months ago.
Well, it's also significant that you ask whom Americans trust to address this issue responsibly. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we see is that Americans certainly say that they trust the Democratic Party more than the Republican Party to handle this issue by a margin of about 10 percentage points. However, it's worth also noting that about a quarter of the country says they don't trust anybody to deal with this issue. And I think that has to do with, you know, just a general sense that, you know, we've had a very gridlocked you know, Congress that has done very, very little, especially in terms of major policy like this. And I think, you know, this is reflected in that number. But when you sort of ask, you know, and by the way, this is true whether you ask of immigration as a whole or whether the specific problem of illegal immigration on both of those issues, the country is saying they trust the Democratic Party by about a 10-point margin more than they trust the Republican Party to handle it.
That suggests, I think, that accusations of Democrats being soft on immigration to somehow swell their own ranks have fallen on deaf ears.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's what's interesting, I think, is that there's a different kind of calculus, I think, that happens, you know, among elected officials who have who are very, you know, thinking very clearly about, okay, where are my votes coming from? What constituencies are supporting my party? And, you know, rank and file partisans aren't really thinking that way. I mean, they really are thinking about, like, the practical problems in the country, how are we going to solve them. And, you know, they do have their own values that correlate to some extent with partisanship. But on this one, I think what we're seeing is actually elected officials aligning themselves more with their constituents, rank-and-file constituents, in a way that I think they've been a little particularly I think Republican leaders have not really been in step with what the public opinion polls show about where rank-and-file Republicans are on this issue.
Robbie, is there a description of a path to citizenship that got the level of support you found? In other words, are there specifics to a solution that's popular and specifics that a majority of Americans would object to?
Well, in past polling, we've, you know, dug into this. And one of the challenges with immigration reform is that when you get down into the sort of policy details and the weeds, this is something that a lot of Americans haven't really thought about that much. But when we ask about things like, you know, should they learn English? Should they pay a fine? You know, should there be a process where they're not getting in front of folks who have come through the process legally? All of those things poll very, very, you know, popular with Americans. But again, those are sort of pragmatic problems. I think what the survey says is that, you know, they do want immigrants who have come here illegally to have to go through some process that has some requirements to it. It's not just the open the doors kind of thing. That's not what Americans want. I mean, they do want secure borders. They do want a kind of orderly process. But at the end of the day, what's at the end of that process that clearly in the survey that we see is some path to citizenship.
Yeah. Did you identify any historical trend in why Americans look at immigration policy?
Yeah. Well, we have a little bit of historical trends here. And what we've seen is about a 6-point shift even over 2 years. The last time we asked a lot of the questions in the present survey was in 2011, also with the Brookings Institution. And there we found in that survey, we found Republicans sort of divided on the issue of a path to citizenship. Now we find them in solid majority territory. There's been about a 5 or 6 point movement, particularly among Republicans in the last couple of years. And I think it reflects, you know, some of the political realities and lessons learned from the last election. And I think it just reflects an evolving realization that the immigration system is really broken and something has to be done. And it can't be done around the edges. It really does have to be done in a more central way.
I don't know. Again, I'm asking another question that I don't know whether you have an answer for from your data or not. But when you're doing a survey like this and you say we want to talk about immigration, how do the callers, the people you've called, how do they respond to that? Do some of them say, I just don't care about it?
Sure. Some of them do. And, you know, we register that in the data where we have, like, you know, number of people who say, I just don't know on these questions. On most of these questions, though, we try to keep them at a level of general knowledge that people who aren't policy wonks or policy specialists who don't read about immigration every day could legitimately have an opinion. You know, I mean, it's one of the real challenges on policies that are complicated like this to ask questions that are fair and that strike the right balance between being substantive enough that they reflect the real policy options out there and aren't so complicated that people's eyes just glaze over and they don't really know what you're talking about.
Robbie, yeah. You are so good at this, and I am so proud that you are. The president obviously has made immigration a high-profile issue for his second administration. Where do you find Americans ranking immigration on their list of priorities?
Well, this is sort of remarkable, right? So on the one hand, we've been talking about the strong support across the board for these policies. On the other hand, when you ask Americans what should be the highest priority for Congress and the president, this issue ranks fairly low. So it ranks 6 out of 7, in fact, of things that we asked about. I mean, still, what's at the very top of the agenda for Americans is really jobs and the economy. Like, sure. That is really what's up there at the very top. Now, what's interesting about this issue, I think, is that what's moving it forward, I think, is political realities at the elite levels of, you know, elected officials. So the administration's behind it. Republicans have got some wind behind them now, kind of reflecting on their losses in the 2012 election, particularly heavy mm-hmm. losses among Latinos in the country. And that, I think, political wind is what's driving, you know, the process forward. Now, I think, you know, once it's in play, I mean, what they're going to find is their constituencies are there and, you know, support it. But it's certainly not being driven by an overwhelming wave of public opinion saying, put this before everything else on your agenda.
Hmm. Well, as usual, I want to switch gears for a minute. It's so hard to slow you down that when we get you seated, we want to ask as much as we can. This coming week, all eyes will be on the Supreme Court. The justices considering two separate cases that could lead to significant progress for LGBT Americans. And I know that you have some important data on LGBT equality just out, and I really would love you to talk about that.
Great. I'm happy to talk about it. The other survey we have out this week is a survey on DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, and same-sex marriage related to the Proposition 8 case.
I think that came out on Friday probably, right?
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it came out just this Friday. So what we find here is sort of half of Americans believing that the federal government should recognize legal marriages between gay and lesbian couples. So that would, in effect, be a position that supports overturning DOMA, which prohibits that at this time. We also find, as we continue to find, growing support for allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry legally in the country. Our last poll has this at 52%, majority of the country. There's another couple of other polls out this week that are showing it also in majority territory as well. And here, again, you know, we're seeing just a wave of movement led by younger people. Yep. There is a colossal chasm between younger Americans and older Americans on this issue, you know, to the tune of 40 points between younger and older Americans. If there's ever a generational issue, this is it. So more than 7 in 10, 72% of millennials, that's 18 to 29-year-olds, say that gay and lesbian couples should be allowed to marry. Only 36% of seniors age 65 and older say that. And one of the other things that kind of make sure I get in here that's really important and I think is also driving the politics some on these issues is that these differences are running all the way down. And so even self-identified younger Republicans, self-identified younger evangelicals are now in majority territory supporting allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry. So the numbers that we have are 58% of millennial Republicans, 51% of white evangelical Protestant under the age of 35 support allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry. Those are starkly different numbers than their older counterparts in the party. So what we're seeing is that among younger Americans, they're being pulled more by their peers, by their you know, by their generational peers, than they are by their party or religion on this issue.
Those are astounding. What is the – is there much of a chasm between – I know age is a chasmic thing, but is there much of a chasm between religious responses and the nuns or the non-religious responses?
Yeah. Well, what we're seeing on kind of the big, you know, underlying issue of same-sex marriage and DOMA really, the patterns for – overturning DOMA and supporting same-sex marriage are really basically the same because it's the same group of people sort of, supporting both. But we do see majorities of religious groups on both sides of this debate. So I think a lot of Americans, I think, mistakenly or wrongly think this is a debate between secular Americans who support same-sex marriage and religious Americans who oppose it.
Yeah.
For some time now, really for a couple of years, we've been finding very consistently that white mainline Protestants and Catholics, along with the religiously unaffiliated, support allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry. On the other side are minority Christians who tend to be more divided on this issue and white evangelical Protestant Christians who tend to be very opposed to this issue. So what we kind of have in the religious landscape is, you know, the fairly large group of white evangelical Protestants really anchoring opposition to same-sex marriage with some also from African-American Protestants and Latino Protestants as well. But then like most other, you know, religious groups, divided or on the other side. So it's a issue that really divides religious Americans.
Robbie, do you have any idea whether the Supreme Court pays any attention to these kinds of polls on Americans' opinions?
Yeah. You know, I don't. It's such a mystery, right, what goes into the deliberation process once oral arguments have been had and once they sort of retire to chambers. And, you know, there are some I think some insights and books into that process. It's a messy one from all the sort of academic literature on the subject. You know, but clearly one of the things justices, I think, ask themselves in addition to the legal arguments, you know, are – you know, questions about where is the country, right? So when we think about desegregation, those other kinds of questions, certainly the Supreme Court weighed what's the country ready for,
right?
Where you know, what's plausible, you know, as policy in the country that we have. And you know, that stuff, I think, makes some difference. Now, where it will come out and how much it will weigh in this issue, I don't know. But on the issue of Proposition 8, for example, we're now showing nearly 6 in 10 Californians supporting allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry, which is much higher, by the way, than it was back in 2008. So, you know, that issue in California where this has been sort of back and forth during the legal battles is sort of marching ahead in public opinion while the legal battles are being played out.
I can't imagine, for example, the justices living in D.C., and seeing a headline this week in the Washington Post talking about the rise of support for same gender marriage, and I mean that just leads me to observe that what you're doing in providing data that give us insight into the American people and their minds and their values is extremely important for the people who are going to be making the decisions that affect the nation. And I don't see how they can interpret the Constitution without paying attention to that.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, one of the things we really try to do is to put, you know, solid, objective, you know, data out there that may be taken by good news in some and bad news by others.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's nonetheless, I think, a good reflection of where the country is. And, you know, clearly on this issue, we have just reached a tipping point on the issue of same-sex marriage. And with, you know, we also asked in this survey whether people have changed their minds or not. And we found that while most Americans say in the last 5 years they have not changed their minds, among those who do, it's more than 2-1 saying that they've changed their mind to be more supportive than to be more opposed.
And I would imagine that with surprising leaders in both party coming out in favor of this, that's going to free up some other people to say, well, maybe I need to look at that again.
Yeah. Well, we have Senator Rob Portman. We have Rob Bell, evangelical leader, coming out this week as well, sort of saying they're supportive of marriage equality. And on this count, one of the things that obviously has been in the news a lot with Rob Portman is his relationship with his son.
Exactly.
Right. We continue to find that one of the strongest predictors of anyone's position on this issue is having a close personal friend or a family member who's gay or lesbian. Very significant predictor of support on the issue.
And interestingly, that is the same principle that we found in talking about people and whether Islamophobia is a part of their life. If you know the individual, you're less likely to be discriminatory against the whole group.
Right.
Dr. Robert P. Jones is the founding CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute. You can read the new comprehensive survey on American views on immigration reform and on the LGBT survey at publicreligion.org. Robbie, one of the fundamental missions of this program has been to cut through partisan rhetoric and bias, and the many times we've been able to call on you for the kind of objective data and thoughtful interpretation of that data that is your specialty has been invaluable. I certainly hope that's something that we'll be around to do many times more in the future, and I can't thank you enough for coming in to talk to us today on State of Belief.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks so much.